is resolved. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The birth of freedom came with great words. Our founding fathers, though, knew that the fight against tyranny required more than great words. The Declaration of Independence would be merely faded ink on yellow parchment if action had not backed up those words. That's why the 56 patriots who signed their names under those great words 246 years ago did so with a firm reliance on divine providence and pledged to one another their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. The security and freedom came with great resolve and sacrifice. Even greater words were spoken 2,000 years ago. A 30-year-old carpenter turned itinerant preacher declared to folks in his hometown that he was going to set the world free. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus spoke words of liberty, recovery, and freedom, not for Himself, but for us.
Yeah.
For 3 years, Jesus proclaimed that the kingdom of God is at hand. Most hung on to His words because no one ever spoke like Jesus.
Yes.
Not all appreciated His words, though, knowing that He was going to be brutally treated and killed for the words He spoke. Nothing could prevent Jesus from securing true and enduring freedom for all of us.
Hallelujah.
Jesus acted on His words with great resolve. Jesus sacrificed His own life on the cross as payment for the penalty of our sins. Jesus won our independence from Satan's tyranny of sin in our lives. As we gather around this table of independence, let us be mindful and thankful that Jesus not only declared freedom from sin and spiritual death, but that He boldly secured freedom for us as well. Let us partake of this bread.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let us partake of this juice.
His blood would not have been shed. He would have called 10,000 angels to remove those nails from his hands and his feet. And he said, forget about it. I don't want to do this.
Right.
But I am so glad that he was willing to allow them to put the nails in his hands and put the nails in his feet and allow that soldier to put that spear in his side and came out blood and water. I am so glad for the blood of Christ today.
Amen.
That leads us in the light. My message today, I've got a few scriptures to read, and we'll get through it, hopefully. See, at the soup kitchen, we try to stay in 30 minutes as much as possible. And I don't know if I'll be able to stay 30 minutes, or I might go over, I might go under. But I tell you what, I have a message that God has given to me,
yes,
and I am going to do my very best to give it to you.
Yes.
My first scripture is in the first book of the Bible. First chapter, starting at the first verse. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. I want you to remember this. And darkness was over the face of the deep. I don't know, there's none of us here that really knows what it's like to be blind, do we? We don't have any blind people here. But I want you to do something for me. I want you to close your eyes and put your hands over your eyes. Everybody that will, close your eyes and put your hands over your eyes. What does it feel like to be in darkness?
Sleepy.
Don't do that, brother. It's no fun being in darkness, is it? Keep your eyes closed. I want to talk a little bit. As it's darkness to you right now, imagine the darkness that was on the face of the deep. There was no heavens, there was no earth. But when God looked down and he saw the darkness, see, God can see the darkness. He can see through the darkness. There's nothing that our God can't do. And I want you to realize and visualize the darkness that was on the face of the deep. Just think about it. Walking in darkness. The name of my message today is walking in darkness. You can open your eyes now. But remember what it felt like when you couldn't see anything. We walk around this earth with eyes to see, but we don't see. We have ears to hear, but we don't hear. We see what we want to see, we hear what we want to hear. But until we can get into the Word of God, and he opens our understanding. He opens our eyes, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself right now. But I feel right now that we need to realize just how dark it is in the lives of a sinner. We read in Genesis 19:4-11. about Sodom and Gomorrah. We've all read that story. When the two spies came in to rescue Lot. There's something that began to happen to the men, both old and young men. They saw these two strangers, and they wanted these two strangers to do things with them that was not right. And when Lot closed his door, and they started banging on his door, the angels made all of them quiet, both great and small. Young men, young boys, old men, they became blind and they couldn't see. And they were groping around and they were trying to find the door to Lot's house. They were feeling on the walls. Feeling on the walls for the door, and they couldn't find the door. And they were hollering and screaming because they wanted these two angels to come out. And Lot said, "No, I'll give you my two virgin daughters. Do with them what you want." But they refused the two daughters. They wanted the two angels. And when they were struck blind, they were roping around, trying to find, you know, some sense of sensibility, or trying to keep, they kept trying to feel on the walls. They were blind. I can't imagine what it was like to be blind in the physical sense. We see in Mark 8, 22-25 about the blind man at Bethesda. He had friends that would lead him around. Every place he went, he had to have someone to help him. I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but they brought him to Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to heal him. So Jesus took him and led him out of the city. Now get this. He spit in the blind man's eyes. I don't know how many people would endure having someone spit in their eyes. I know I wouldn't like it. But if I was blind and I was brought to the master, it wouldn't make any difference what he did. If he spit in my eyes, if he just touched me, and I received my sight, that's all that matters.
Amen.
The spit in his eyes didn't mean nothing to him. But the healing of his sight did everything to him. We walk around to and fro on this earth like blind men sometimes, trying to find something to satisfy ourselves. But we're like the blind man at Bethesda. We have to have someone to lead us and guide us. I am so glad that my physical eyes are open, and I'm so glad my spiritual eyes are open.
Amen.
In Mark 10, 46-52, it talks about blind Bartimaeus. Now this guy was anxious. He wanted something from Jesus. He sat on the roadside, he was begging. Brother Philip, what would it feel like to sit on the roadside and having to beg for just a few pennies? so that I could get a few morsels of bread, maybe a cup of sardines. What would it be like just sitting there, everybody passing by, everybody kicking dirt on you because you're black, but you're no good. And but he heard about Jesus. And when he knew that Jesus was passing by, he heard this rumble of voices. He felt the vibration on the ground of the people's feet, because they were all gathered around Jesus. Everybody wanted something from Jesus. And he began to holler, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Shut up. Jesus is busy. He don't want nothing to do with you. But did that discourage him?
No.
He began to holler and scream even louder, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me."
Oh, yes.
And Jesus stopped in his tracks and he said, "Bring him here." And the people that were standing by him says, "Be of good cheer. The Master has called you." And Jesus said unto him, "What is it you want from me?" And Barnabas says, "That I might receive my sight." Amen. And Jesus healed him instantly. What is it going to take for us to realize that we need to call out unto the King of Kings? That we need to call out to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We're just like blind Bartimaeus. We're sitting by the roadside just contemplating our time, counting our few pennies, and hoping that someone would have mercy upon us. But I want you to know, the man that died upon that old rugged cross, he not only had mercy upon us, but he gave his life's blood for us.
Yes.
Amen. And I want you to know today, amen, it was great back in the early days of Pentecost. It wasn't Pentecost back then, you know, but in the early days, I have read books about some of the old ministers that traveled the roads, no education, could hardly read, but had a whole car full of kids. And they would pull into a gas station and they would sleep overnight because they didn't have money to stay in a hotel. And they would go to the next town and start preaching. They'd hold 10 revivals. People would get saved by the hundreds.
Yes.
All because someone said, "Jesus,
yes,
have mercy upon me."
Amen.
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 And when they begin to preach the gospel of Christ, they preach under shade trees. They preach in the open fields. People would come from all over the area, from all the little towns, to hear these people preach. And they couldn't pronounce half the words that they needed to say. But they felt something inside of their heart that said, "I want to share what God has given to me." What is it going to take for us to wake up and realize what we have, we need to share?
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't make any difference, like this Sunday school lesson that said, we need to share what we have.
Amen.
God has been merciful to us. It's high time that we wait, that we stop waiting for the back door to open up and sinners to come through. It's high time we stop waiting for our neighbors to come to church. We need to get out there And we need to start seeking and searching for someone that is hungry for God.
Amen.
We need to stop sitting by the roadside and begging a few alms from God. And realize that we are the children of the Most High.
Yeah.
Everything that we have, everything that we need, amen, we need to start sharing with somebody else.
Amen.
It doesn't make any difference. It's not my family. It's not my neighborhood. It's not my city. Amen. And there's been people going to and fro, amen, from city to city, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they have something that they want to share. Amen. If I had $1 million, I would probably share it with just about everybody here. Then I'd be broke. But if I have something, like the Bible said, the man that was working in the field, he was looking for something special. And when he found it, he buried the treasure back up. And he went and sold everything that he had to get that treasure.
Yes, he did.
Amen. Everything that we need, everything that we have, amen, is buried in that field. And we need to take care of everything. We need to get down in that field and start digging. Amen. It's no fun digging on a piece of ground that's so hard that with a shovel won't even go through. I was trying to put up a bird hanger. And it had this sharp point on it. And I pushed it down. I kicked on it and kicked and kicked and kicked it. It didn't even budge the ground. It barely broke the dust. I said, forget this. But when we begin to start digging in that ground, amen, when we start getting into the Word,
yes,
it doesn't make any difference how hard the ground is. It doesn't make any difference how difficult it is. We need to keep digging. We need to keep working. Amen. Because that's the only way the souls are going to be saved.
Amen.
They're not going to just come in our back door.
Right.
They're going to be in the streets. They're going to be at the soup kitchen. They're going to be at the grocery store, Brother Gilbert.
Yes.
Amen. When you pray for that guy, he will never forget that.
Right.
He'll forget who you are, but he'll never forget that prayer. Amen. And when we begin to work for God, we need to dig. We need to dig in that dirt. And then we need to do everything that we can to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you glad to know Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Not just as your personal Savior, not as your Lord and your King.
Amen.
Are you ready to work for Him? Are you ready to get off your pew and start doing something for Jesus Christ? We have to, in this day and time. The world is so dark, and there's darkness, amen, not just in our city, but in our state and in our country.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a cloud of darkness over and over our country and our world. It seems like there's a cloud of darkness hovering over our heads. Amen. And the devil is in that cloud of darkness. And he is doing everything that he can to get through to you. And I want to tell you about the helmet of salvation. If you have that helmet of salvation on your head, if you have the breastplate of righteousness, if you have the sword of the Spirit, amen, you can fight all that darkness. Not within yourself, because in yourself you are nothing. We are nothing. We're just a ball of clay. But oh, when we begin to fight the devil and we have the proper ornaments on our body, amen, in our mind and our soul, amen, things can happen.
That's right.
We can be a defeater of the devil.
Amen.
As the people fall in our country for freedom from tyranny, from England, there was a lot of bloodshed. There was a lot of sacrifices. Everybody that thought they were safe found out they wasn't safe. And the war came, and it destroyed their homes. It destroyed some of their family. And that's exactly what sin does today. If we don't have the proper ornament inside of us, that helmet of salvation, that cloud of darkness that seems to loom over our head. Amen. When the devil begins to shoot those darts at us, amen, they'll just bounce off. But if we don't have that helmet of salvation on our head and that breastplate of righteousness, amen, it's going to penetrate. It's going to get into our mind. It's going to get into our brain. Amen. And we're going to walk around like a blind man.
Thank you, Jesus.
Seeking peace. Amen. I want peace. I want happiness in my life. But yet I deny the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. I won't give myself to Him. And because of that, the devil sees a little spot where he can shoot a dart. Amen. It doesn't make any difference how long you live for God or how strong you think you are in the Spirit. There's always a chance for one of those darts to get through.
Yes.
As long as you say it's not worth it. Amen.
Amen.
I know what it's like to say it's not worth it. I'm just going to give it up. But I tell you what, when you fall flat on your face because you're trying to do things your way, and the only way you seem to be able to get the strength to get up, amen, is when you look up and you see the cross of Calvary. When you see the man on that cross, when you see his love, amen, amen, and you reach out into that cross, amen, as that one thief did, he said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Then and only then we will be able to get the strength and the power to be overcomers. When we are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God gives us that power to become warriors. Amen. Even if you've never been in the military, we are in a war today, folks.
Yes.
The devil is trying to deceive each and every one of us.
Yes.
Amen. From the preacher all the way back to the back door. He's trying everything in his power to deceive us, to tell us it's not worth it. All the trouble and trials that I go through, and that cloud looms above my head. Oh, yes. I cannot overcome that by myself. I don't have the power or the strength inside of me. I walk around like a blind man sometimes, wondering where in the world I'm going, what I'm doing. But when we call out unto Jesus, when we tell Him, "Lord, I am sick and tired of walking in darkness." As the darkness was in the beginning, amen, that same darkness, that same cloud looms above us and is trying to drive us down. I don't know if you've ever been around a pile driver. When I worked in the shipyards in New York, the pile driver, it drives those great big logs deep down into to the rivers so they can make a bridge. The devil takes that pile driver and he begins to hammer. And you can hear it hammer. And I say to myself, I have no strength. I'm about to give up. But then when I call out unto Jesus, amen, when I lift my hands in worship, amen, when I begin to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when I begin to say, Lord, I cannot do this, but I need you. I need you in my life more than I ever had before. Let me tell you something. Us older folks, we're near the end of our journey. If you don't think so, just look around. We're near in our journey. I sing a song sometimes that says, I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. I'm closer to God along the way. Each step I take, each prayer I pray, I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. And I feel it in my body. I feel it in my mind and my soul. I don't know how much longer we'll be able to keep walking. Brother Gilbert came in. He fell 3 times trying to get into the church. And if we don't have the strength of Christ to help us, that cloud of darkness that keeps looming above our head, if we don't put on that helmet of salvation. I was telling someone yesterday, during the wars, they had the helmets for the soldiers, and some of them had steel helmets. Now, those steel helmets, most of the bullets would bounce off of it, but the regular helmets, it would go right through the guy's head. If we have the right helmet of salvation, if we have Jesus Christ living in our lives, we'll be able to ward off the devil and his spirits. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, it says that even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In our world today, folks, I'll be 77 years old this year, and it seems like I'm a century old. And when I was just a kid, back in the late 40s and 50s, there used to be such peace. I would lay in the grass in my yard, and I would smell the salt air from the Gulf of Mexico. And I would hear the roar of the waters as they came up to the shore. Us older folks are here and listening to the roar of old Jordan when it comes apart. Amen. When we cross Jordan, amen. The song says that we don't have to cross Jordan alone. And that is so true. Amen. My wife can't help me. My parents and my in-laws could never help me because I was a stubborn old goat. But I tell you what, when I finally decided to give my life totally into Jesus, I thought I was living for God for all the years. But when I really came in contact with the man Christ Jesus, when I began to worship Him in spirit and in truth,
yes.
Amen. The darkness seemed to disappear. Amen. When you put on that helmet of salvation,
yes,
there's a protection for you, folks.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
In Proverbs 4:19 it says, the way of the wicked is like a deep darkness. I didn't want to preach this message today, Paul, because I don't like darkness. I like the light. Why don't I like the darkness when I try to sleep? And I tell you what, it's so good to wake up and see the light shining through the windows. Amen. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. If you've ever been out around the ocean or been outside when the sun begins to come up, there's something about that great big red ball that comes up. We think the sun is going up and down, up and down, up and down, but it's the world that's turning. And I want you to know today, folks, our world right now is turning. And it's not turning for the best.
Right. Right.
Amen. There's so many things going on in our world today. Amen. Man-made sicknesses. It's going on so rapidly. And it seems like one dies and another one takes its place. The shadow of that darkness that looms over our head every day is doing its best to discourage the people of our country. I'm not a politician. And I don't claim to know hardly anything about politics. But I try to follow my heart and I try to listen. The people call when I go to vote. The politicians today, they're reading their Bible. You better believe they are. And they are prepared for Armageddon. They are prepared for the end of the world. Look at all these rich millionaires. They're building storm shelters. Amen. They're trying to make sure that they are alive after the big bomb hits. But they're preparing the wrong thing. The Bible says that heaven and earth is going to pass away, but His Word will always be here.
Right.
Amen. When you get into the Word of God, when you begin to prepare, this is the way to prepare for the end of the world.
Man.
That's right.
This is the way to prepare for the end of your life.
Man, that's right.
Amen. We think we have problems now, but the problems are going to arise, amen, even in our country. And it's happening in a lot of places in our country where evil is triumphant over good. Evil is called good. Good is called evil. The Bible proclaims that. Amen. And I'm so glad that I know the truth about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's up to you and it's up to me to make up our minds to get out of the darkness of sin and get into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me all stand for you. My brother Stacy said below, or before, this altar is always open. If you want to get out of the darkness of this world, if you want to get into the light of Jesus Christ, if you want to start serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, this altar is open. There's nothing in this world worth losing your life over.
Right.
But when you give your all to Jesus Christ, amen, you are preparing for the end of your life. Because only at the end of your life, and if you have been faithful to Jesus Christ, if you've done all that you can to get out from the darkness of this world and to the light of the gospel of Christ. Then and only then will you be able to say that I'm going to heaven. Folks, I don't know about you, but I wrestled with this message. And I felt the darkness over and over me, trying to beat me down, trying to tell me who you think you are up there preaching. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a young kid. But when I surrender my all to Jesus, when I give him everything, if he says to preach, I preach. If he says to teach, I teach. If he says to witness, Brother Danny, I need a witness. And even if those doors are open for me to witness, make it open. Amen. You don't have to force yourself. Jesus, when he was on the earth, he did not force people to follow him. They did it because they loved him. And at the end of his life, when he gave his blood on the cross of Calvary, because he loved us so much, things really began to happen. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered together in one place. And the Bible says that suddenly, a sound came from heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. And it filled every one of them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues. Was it just for the 120?
No.
No. And emphatically, no. If it was just for them, we would have no hope today. But we have a hope in the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. If anyone wants to come and pray, this altar is open. If you want to get out from the darkness, it's hovering over your head, telling you it's no use. You might as well just give up now. As you had your hand over your eyes, there was a darkness. And right now there is a darkness in our church. There is a darkness in our city. There is a darkness in our state, in our country, in our world. And the only way that we're going to be able to get out of that darkness is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says to look up into the hills from whence cometh our help. And our help comes only from the Lord. We cannot count on the things of this world. Let his word lead us and guide us. Let him come into our hearts and our mind. Put on that helmet of salvation. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. And pick up that sword of the Spirit and go out into the field and fight like David did with Goliath. David was not afraid because he knew that he served a God that would deliver him. We cannot be afraid today when we pick up the sword of the Spirit and we go out and we begin to work for Him. Amen. We need to work while it is a day because the night comes and it's coming fast, folks. We are the older generation. I just said that more and more. And all of you young people, listen to what I'm saying. All of you young people, my kids, my grandkids, are going to see devastation in our country like it's never happened before. And the only way that we're going to have strength and power to overcome the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation and protection, the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. And I want you to know, folks, right here, right now, is a chance for you to put on the whole armor of God.
Oh, yes.
Whether you feel like it or not, we have to work for God. We have to be obedient to Him. As Sister Stacy sings, if you would like to come and pray, this altar is open.